This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Twenty-5 years since our first run together. 1900 and nothing.
It's a long time.
What you doing?
Getting mixed up with her.
You are marvelous, Rose. We were married someday.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. This week, we have a pair of reviews, both of which I think are going to be awards contenders in the coming year. So today, we're going to be starting with a drama that is available on Netflix, directed by Jane Campion, and it's called The Power of the Dog.
I didn't know very much about this film going in, except that it's Jane Campion and that it stars Benedict Cumberbatch. And I really think that that's actually quite a good way to go into it. I love westerns. I love movies set in that era, cowboys and so on. But this isn't quite that film. It is sort of set in that space, but there's so much going on with this movie. I'm still trying to unpack a lot of it. I wouldn't say that I loved it wholeheartedly, but it's the kind of movie that's just stayed with me and gets me thinking. And the more I think about it, the more I uncover.
It's very hard for me to say if I like this movie or not. But I can easily say that I appreciate this movie. So I appreciate the visuals. I appreciate the cinematography. Love the performances, like, oh my God. But I still can't decide if this is a movie that I will revisit. And I think it's one of those things where it has to sit with you for a bit before you decide if it's something you would like to, you know, say that you love in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I agree entirely with both of you in that the experience of watching the film is difficult, right? Because you're watching it and you're thinking there's very little dialogue, and in fact, there's very little plot. And yet somehow you're kind of swept away by the whole thing, and it's a very, very affecting watch. I think that's the best word for me to use anyway, that I was very affected by it, even as I was wondering, where exactly is this going? So for what it's worth, like I said, very little plot, very little dialogue. The plot is this. Kirsten Dunst plays a widow named Rose, who finds herself wooed and subsequently married by a relatively wealthy ranch owner, George, who has a brother named Phil, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. George is played by Jesse Plemons. Rose is played by Kirsten Dunst. And basically, Phil and George own a ranch, and it's clear that they've already somewhat grown apart, because Phil is the rough and tumble cowhand. You know, he wants to be out there doing all the cowhand, ranch hand stuff. And George, in the meantime, is clearly not really about that life. And that this is a household that Rose enters along with her son, Peter. And that is it. Following on from that, Phil basically takes a dislike to Rose and the rest of the movie unfolds.
It's getting a lot of Oscar buzz for both direction, story, but particularly for Benedict Cumberbatch's performance. And I definitely want to talk more about that. But I don't want to downplay how good the entire cast is. All those people you mentioned, Peter is played by Cody Smith-McPhee. He is so good. Everyone just puts in such great performances in their parts, because it's a very subtle film. Everyone sort of underplays. Everything is about like little ticks of movements on their faces, little quavers in people's voices. And it's the kind of movie that you sit with and against this beautiful landscape of Montana. It's actually New Zealand, but yes, Montana. It gets under your skin. I think everything about this movie really gets under your skin. I think what I appreciated about the story is that, much like a lot of other Jane Campion films, it's a lot about people's inner worlds and inner desires. And from the beginning to the end, sometimes you don't feel like you've learned that much more about these people. But the characters are fascinating. It kind of hits a part of you that gets you thinking like, wow, what does it mean to want these kinds of things in life? What does it feel like to be stuck in these situations? And that's something this film does really well.
So what I found interesting is that if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, there's a divide between the critics' reviews and then the audience. So I think critics gave it maybe 96%, 95%, something like that. Audience, it's about 60-something-ish. And I think that divide exists because the movie demands a lot from the people watching. It requires you to really pay attention to details. And also, it requires you to think about the movie after it's done. So it has to like marinate for a while. And 2 days later, 3 days later, you have to come back to the film and go, oh, so that's what that meant, or that's what this detail is, or this is why that person said something in the beginning. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, how many people do that watching this casually on a weekend on Netflix? It's just like, as a passerby film, it is kind of a slow burn, and it is very boring if you look at it that way. But if you are reviewing it for something like what we are doing, like for a show, then you're paying a lot of attention to the film itself and the performances and everything else that's going on. So you might appreciate it in a different way. I don't know if the film is asking too much from people, though. I don't know if it requires like a huge checklist of things to happen before you get to understand and give it its due credit of how good The Power of the Dog is.
So I'm interested by that, partly because, Sharmila, you mentioned right at the start that you went in knowing Jane Campion and Benedict Cumberbatch. I actually think the context you should know is Jane Campion and Kirsten Dunst, and the fact that that role was initially meant to be played by Elizabeth Moss. And I say this because Jane Campion's always been interested in broken people. If you are aware, if you're familiar with her work, whether it's the Top of the Lake, whether it's Bright Star, you know, just past Jane Campion's works, then you know that this is her thing. Character studies, slow burns, and in fact, people dealing with trauma, loneliness, hurt people hurting others, in fact, I think, is something that Jane Campion does a lot, and something that Kirsten Dunst plays a lot. And so if you go in knowing that this is Jane Campion directing Kirsten Dunst, then I think you expect a certain type of movie. However, if you look at the poster and you watch the trailer and it's Benedict Cumberbatch playing like banjo menacingly, then you're going to expect a different sort of film. And so, and because Benedict Cumberbatch is a little bit of a tentpole star, weirdly, you would never have thought this would happen, but here we are. So I think the expectation that, ooh, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, Montana, Western, that is also a totally different sort of movie. So I do think that going in with a sense of managed expectations means that you're not going to be like, ah, it's Saturday, I'm going to watch some people with cowboy hats. You won't be feeling broken at 7 and unable to eat dinner. You know what I mean? Like you have to pick your battles with this movie.
And I think it's actually really worth breaking down what it means to cast someone like Benedict Cumberbatch in this role, because on paper he doesn't fit, right? He's the one you're used to having the sort of upper class British accents, being really posh and sort of intelligent or super intelligent in most of his roles, and then you have him playing this rough and tough cowboy who doesn't like bathing, who'd rather be out in the fields. And it's odd. And in fact, his performance is actually so magnetic because it feels like an ill fit. The first few times you see him play this role or appear as Phil, you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm quite feeling it. It doesn't feel like it quite fits. Why is he playing this character? Why did they pick him? But as the movie opens, as the movie unfolds, as you said, Lynn, you realize that it's about broken people in many different ways. And Phil in himself is broken. And Benedict Cumberbatch being cast to play that role actually does a very neat trick of, it's a sleight of hand performance. I don't want to give away too much, but it's a performance that conceals so many layers. And the fact that he seems like an ill fit for the role is actually a large part of it as well. And he knows that. And that's, to me, when they talk about the performance in this film, his is so good mostly because it does exactly what the story requires him to do.
I think that's also my favorite part of the film. Kind of in the same bracket, it's how subtle the movie is when it's dealing with such heavy and, you know, really big themes and really big stories, right? So it's about, like you said, like broken people. There's a lot going on in the background, and it's a whole, like, creates this whole very heavy, very tense, like, atmosphere, but nothing in the film hits you over the head. It's a very interesting way how they're able to keep the mood consistent, even though the plot keeps escalating from chapter to chapter to chapter.
I think this is one of the subtlest movies I've seen this year. Mm. If you can find an unsubtlety in The Power of the Dog, I don't even know anymore. we're talking today about a movie that we all, I don't think enjoyed is the right word, but that we were all really affected by, and that's really beautiful to watch, and that is The Power of the Dog, which is out on Netflix, directed by Jane Campion, written by Jane Campion as well, in fact, and starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, Cody Smith-McPhee. We'll come back to talk more about the performances and the film as a whole. Let us know if you've seen The Power of the Dog, and if you like Westerns or Western psychodramas, which is what this one is being called. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
He's just a man. Only another man.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are reviewing The Power of the Dog. So we spent quite a bit of time earlier talking about Benedict Cumberbatch. And I just wanted to add on simply to say, I thought he was magnificent. I think this is one of his best performances. Mm. And I'm just glad to see him. I'm just glad to see him continuing to stretch, actually, to try different things. But I wanted to talk about the other cast members, because when we talk about this movie and the very slow-burning plot, the very small moments that are actually huge moments in the inner lives of these characters, a lot of it comes down to all the other performances as well, and they are great. I think that when a movie has a performance like Benedict Cumberbatch's at the centre, it's quite easy to overlook, but everyone was amazing.
You mentioned that we've seen Kirsten Dunst play these kinds of roles before, and we have, but there's something about her here, you know, down to her look, right? How her skin looks just paper thin and fragile, but how she responds when she's repeatedly told to perform on the piano while Phil, Benedict's character, is sort of silently, psychologically terrorizing her in the background. I thought her performance was up there with Benedict Cumberbatch's. She's so important in us understanding that this is a story not about men riding horses and being manly, but a story about all of the destruction and the emotional destruction, really, that comes as a result of that kind of masculinity. And she's so important for that.
And then you have Jesse Plemons, who's doing so much, but makes it look so effortless because he's so good at what he does. He's like one of those underrated people, right? Like, no one talks about Jesse Plemons. He's not a household name, but he's so good in anything he touches. He's so good. I saw this article that had the headline that said, The Power of the Dog proves why Benedict Cumberbatch is wasted in the MCU. And I thought that that was an unfair thing to say, because Benedict Cumberbatch is so good that I think at the end of the day, the point to make is that he's believable in anything that he does. So if you see him as a cowhand, you see him in 1925 Montana, you believe that he is in that role and he's playing the person that he's playing. At the same time, when he's wearing the goofy Doctor Strange outfit, it never looks like he doesn't belong. Like, it's Benedict Cumberbatch trying to be Doctor Strange. You're like, oh, that's Stephen Strange. That's Doctor Strange played by Benedict Cumberbatch. So I think he's that sort of chameleon where you can put him in anything, mainstream films, Marvel films, superhero stuff, or things like The Power of the Dog, and he's going to nail it like every single time. Sometimes, like 1917, he's going to overshadow and outperform everyone else in that movie, even though the point of that movie was the one take thing.
If I may, I think a lot of it comes down to his accent. in the MCU, which I don't love. you would think that doing this accent in The Power of the Dog would be a more complex ask, but there's something about this this particular character, this version of Benedict Cumberbatch, that feels very lived in. I think that's the difference here, and maybe that's the thing. Because when I watched watching Power of the Dog, so I have never really liked Westerns. I've talked about this before. It's too dusty, too hot. Something about inhabiting those worlds on screen actually make me feel like I'm physically uncomfortable. And Benedict Cumberbatch in this movie is all of that. Actually, all of them are all of that. The house is drafty and old. The setting of the place just looks so foreboding and isolating and all that stuff. But across the board, all the characters, including Benedict Cumberbatch, a British man, you know, everybody is very lived in. Everybody feels very natural. I think that that's the thing, right? All the performances are very, very naturalized. And all the shots, so to talk about the direction a little bit, the direction emphasizes that further because the movie is made with a very sensual and intimate eye. And I recognize when I'm saying that, that it sounds specifically sexual, but I don't mean it that way. I mean, some of it, yes, but the other part of it is that it's very emotionally intimate. There's a lot of closeness. The camera comes very close. The camera feels like it's breathing the same room as the actors. And I think that that's quite a special quality to have for a film that lives and dies by its characters' inner lives, which they're not talking about.
It actually counteracts the that isolation and the aridness of Westerns. I think the way Jane Campion plays around with the way things feel and textures, and even a scene as simple as when we see Phil taking a bath in a river by himself, for instance, there's something very intimate and very personal and beautiful about it. And the beauty is then contrasted with the kind of awfulness and toxicity that he's capable of, right? And I think that this constant playing of contrasts in the film of beautiful, sensual, intimate things and then things just being awful and broken and dusty and difficult is the constant push and pull of emotions as well. And I think very few films are this well thought out and yet feel so organic. It's incredibly plotted. It's incredibly tightly crafted. But when you're watching it, it all feels just really organic.
And everything is so painfully hollow in a good way, like, you know, like on purpose. It's so, so painfully hollow because the movie does such a good job. The movie does an excellent job and the music is awesome. The unsettlingness of the themes and the music, even though something happy happens on screen, the music makes you know that this is not as happy as you think it is and something else is going on that you're not seeing, which is just brilliant.
Well, you know, that's what you get with Johnny Greenwood, right? That's absolutely what you're going to get with Johnny Greenwood. I wanted to know whether you guys were frightened watching this movie, because I was. It felt, for all of our talk of its beauty, and it is beautiful, it's in rural New Zealand, what more do you want? For all of our talk of its beauty, of how affecting and emotional and intimate it is, the other part of it is, and the music factors into it, I found myself really unsettled and frightened watching it. Despite the fact that nothing is happening, I'm like, where is this going? Who's going to get hurt? What's going to happen? And that kind of uneasiness actually permeated my entire viewing experience.
Oh, absolutely. The whole something is about to happen, someone's going to get hurt, something bad is going to happen is, it's like it's around the corner of every frame. And I kept waiting for it to happen. And the thing is, and the genius of the film is that when something does, it's in a place that you don't expect it to. You don't see it coming. And it just kind of happens in a way that's just by the by. And so I think that also is really clever because you're on high alert throughout this film, but for the wrong reasons.
I felt the same way. And going back to the music, I think it's because of the music. So from the first scene, from the opening, because of how unsettling it feels and because of how rude and just like off-ish Benedict Cumberbatch is in the movie, he seems dangerous from the get-go. You know that there's something off about this person. He's angry, he's frustrated. He might be violent. You don't know yet. And you're thinking like, so what is he going to do? Or what is someone else going to do? Or how is everything going to factor into something bad? And you're not sure what bad, or even if it's going to be bad. But yeah, so it was a pretty tense film. I was kind of glad that it was only about 2 hours long, so you could put up with it. Longer than that, it would have been way too long to be that tense on a weekday night, I think.
I wanted to close with this question. A, would we actually recommend this movie? And B, if we were, when should someone watch it? What is the mood? What is the day?
I would 100% recommend it. But something Arvin said at the start of the show got me thinking about how it's not something you put on and watch on Netflix. And it reminded me of the intentionality of hearing about a great film, going out looking for the DVD, watching it at a particular time because you want to know what the fuss is. That's the mood for this film. You have to want to watch it, and it has to be an intentional thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend this. I think people would be mad at me if I recommended this to them for like, oh, go watch it on a Saturday and have fun. They'd be like, no, you know, it's 2 hours of nothingness unless you're looking for something to enjoy. I mean this in the best way. I think this movie is made for film snobs. I think it's made to win Oscars. I think it's made for critics to sort of dissect it and analyze it and like hyper go into like essays or what all the symbolism means. I don't think it's a movie for anyone who's looking for anything remotely casual to watch any day of the week.
I would recommend it. I dragooned some people into watching it with me. And while during the film, it felt really slow and interminable, we've had like really fun, we've had really fruitful discussions after about good and bad, whether people are good or bad, whether the characters in this are good or bad. And I think that it's a movie that you'll enjoy talking about when you're not on the radio and can therefore spoil it with people who have seen it. So I would say definitely watch it. I would build off what you said earlier, Sharmila, and just add that I think intending to is important. So if you're, say, on a completist streak before the Academy Awards or something, that is the perfect mindset in which to catch it. We've been talking today about The Power of the Dog, written and directed by Jane Campion. Let us know if you have seen it or plan to. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.